Hey guys, welcome to The Beautiful Other Side, episode 7. Today is June 21st, 2019. Happy Friday! I am wicked excited to share this episode with you all because it features my friend, Wesley Hafel. Wesley is a fitness coach and personal trainer, but in my opinion, the best thing about her is how much she shares with her audience and how vulnerable she chooses to be. This actually might be the most intense convo that I've had with a guest yet. We talk a lot about mental health and getting all the way to the bottom in order to rise to the top. Please listen and definitely feel free to share this with anyone who you might think needs to hear it. And also feel free to subscribe to stay up to date on all new episodes. Enjoy! Wes is a phenomenal personal trainer and fitness coach, and our paths crossed back almost 2 years ago now when I was fortunate enough to photograph Wes and her husband on their wedding. And Wes was the most gorgeous bride, and they had the most amazing day. And
oh, thank you.
I absolutely fell in love with their love story and so much goodness.
We were so happy to have you photograph our wedding. Like, aww, it couldn't have gone more perfect. And I love that we have just stayed connected and grown a friendship out of it as well. It was just like so great to have you there with us. So
sweet.
Thank you. Yes. So our pictures were amazing, by the way, you guys.
Too nice. But I think that was like my record for the most amount of tears I've ever.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Between your sister-in-law singing Edelweiss and your father-in-law crying, and like, oh my God, everywhere.
I know. Everybody was crying. I think everybody did.
But such happy tears.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's where I met Wes. But she has been super inspirational. Of course, I've been following her along since then. And Wes is somebody I admire for her vulnerability and just willingness to kind of share a lot about her life. So Wes, why don't you just start by kind of like introducing yourself and what you're passionate about now and what your career looks like?
Sure. Okay. So my name is Wesley Hafel, and I am a fitness coach and personal trainer in the area here in Connecticut. Southeastern Connecticut and in Westerly, Rhode Island. Prior to my career in fitness, I was a professional snowboarder. I grew up snowboarding since the year 8 years old, and I started competing when I was like maybe 12 or 13 years old, and competed all through college on the national circuit and after college. And you know, into my late 20s, actually. So that has been kind of like what has defined me as a person throughout my entire life. But now that I am becoming a much older individual and kind of growing into my own self, it's nice to not have that be my identity, but just something that's part of my past and that can influence me in my career today. So I moved to this area 4 years ago. It was my husband, my now husband, my boyfriend at the time, that I followed to the East Coast. He invited me to come live with him in his hometown. So that's how I got here. And I was the one that fell in love with this area and said, we're staying. so we met in Colorado, which is where I sort of grew up. I grew up between there and Ohio, and we met in Colorado and came here together. So I've been here ever since, set down our roots, and we're staying. So I'm not from here, but it feels great to kind of meld into this community. It's really nice. So I have, since moving here, developed my own personal training and online fitness coaching business. And I take clients in person, and I do individual fitness programming for all of my clients. So I've stepped away from group training, and I have found massive benefits with individual programming for my clients. So it's like individual programming in a group setting, I work out of a gym in Westerly at the moment. Currently looking for my own space, but I'm fully independent. And I run an online business as well, so I can still coach and program for clients across the country, which is really nice. I've been able to reconnect with some, you know, people from my past, which has been so much fun. Actually, some from my life in the snowboarding industry. Also, a former high school classmate of mine is one of my clients. It's been really fun. And I am in the process of growing the online sector of my business as well. So that's kind of what I'm up to at the moment. I think that covers a little bit about who I am.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's so cool how, yeah, you can use like social media now to connect with people that are far away.
It's incredible.
I feel like personal training must be such a, no pun intended, but personal choice. I mean, you want someone there, I don't know, like that you vibe with super well. And I would imagine your clients must be psyched that they have the opportunity to kind of hang with you because easy to like, you're very encouraging, but so easy to kind of like hang out with. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I always say that there are never enough trainers and there are never enough coaches for everybody out there because everyone is so unique. Everyone needs one, just like everyone needs a doctor.
Right.
And you need to interview your coach and the coach needs to interview the client and you need to figure out if you work well together, if you vibe and you're on the same wavelength. So it's kind of fun to build those relationships and go from there. And then you become really close, whether you're working together online or even in person, it just becomes like this really incredible bond. I do really enjoy it.
Recently, Wes made a post on Instagram about an accident that she had gotten into a while ago and the recovery side of things. And I was completely blown away and clueless at the same time about what that accident had looked like. I think to us, it kind of just sounded terrible, but we didn't really know what was going on. And Wes kind of went through a lot of transitions after that and recently let us in on it. And after she made this post, I was just like, holy shit, you have got to come talk to the people that I am trying to reach with this podcast, because as you know, this podcast is kind of about like overcoming a lot of adversity and that like someday your life can look super amazing if you just like push hard for it, but it takes work. It takes small steps and then bigger steps.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So why don't you kind of just tell everybody maybe about the accident and where it led to, where things went from there.
Okay. It's so funny because it turned into this because I was not expecting to share that day that I made that post. I had no idea that that was going to blurt out.
Which is like what I feel like the best posts are made. Like anytime you're like, right. No, I shouldn't do this or I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Or not even like thinking about it. You make those and those are the ones that people respond to.
Exactly.
Incredibly.
Like, I was just in the gym and I had an amazing workout session. And of course I'm like in the mirrors taking a selfie because I'm like, holy cow, I cannot believe the amount of muscles that I put up. Like I was kind of in awe of myself, not to sound conceited anything, but I was so proud of my progress.
Yeah.
I have never had muscles like this in my life, not even during like my competitive snowboarding days. So I was so excited and I'm like posing and I'm like trying to like, you know, show the pump from the workout, I guess. So I snapped this selfie and then I like was like, okay, I should put this side by side with, you know, before I started this whole individual programming journey. So after my accident, I hired a coach. I hired one of me, which I think is so important. Coaches need coaches. If you have goals, you need a coach. And I truly stand behind that statement. And I feel so confident in saying that to everyone out there. Because if you have fitness goals, if you have goals of any kind, get a coach, but make sure it's the right one. And they found the perfect coach for me. And they helped me get back into the groove of fitness and back into working out when I was in a very fragile and delicate state after my accident. So I snapped a photo of myself on the first day I got back to working out after the car accident and put them side by side. And I was blown away. Like it's shocking.
It is pretty incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty shocking. So I was like, I have to post this. Also, like, at first I thought was like, all right, I'm just going to post this and show how much I weighed in the before photo and how much I weighed in the after photo, which I believe I gained 18 pounds.
That's crazy. I know.
It's crazy. So I was like, I'm just going to like write a post about.
And just to clarify for anyone like that might be confused. Yes, we are saying she gained 18 pounds and it was. Yeah. I don't want people to be like, oh wait, did they mean she lost? No, we mean she gained 18 pounds and looked incredible.
Thank you.
It was a good thing. And after you listen to this podcast, go check it out for yourself. You'll absolutely understand what we mean.
Awesome. No, absolutely. Like that was a huge success for me. And I wanted to just write a post about, you know, the victory that you can get out of gaining weight on this scale, and that the numbers don't really mean anything. They don't, you know, it's not the measure of your success really. So I just wanted to like go off of a post around that. And then it kind of turned into me sharing the entire story. I was just like, this is the opportunity. Like this, I'm just felt it in my gut that I needed to share the true story of what was really behind the photo on the left, the before photo, and then what it took for me to get to the photo on the right, the after or the in progress photo, only after 6 months. So I let it out and I got a really great response from it. And I was so happy that it was just the right time to release that information and just share my story. And I was ready. And I felt like my personal growth had hit a point to, you know, like summer is upon us. Spring was my time of regrowth. And it was just very symbolic for me to just emerge into this new phase in my life, somewhere I have never been before and somewhere I've never been so strong emotionally and strong physically. So it was just like, I always say that I work out to physically manifest my inner strength or to like build some sort of inner strength. It's just my way of expressing my my strength within me. So I guess I'll just get to the car accident and the story itself instead of just talking about it. So, okay, back in December, right before Christmas, like December 10th, actually, I know the date, I was rear-ended. I was just rear-ended in a car accident. This woman was driving so fast and she slammed right into me. And she's probably texting and driving. I don't know. But it, you know, thrusted me forward. Thank God I had my seatbelt on, and thrusted me backward. And I'm like, okay, this was like, she was going really fast. She really hit me really hard. And I was obviously like, I went right into shock immediately, but it wasn't like a severe accident. Yes, she was going very fast. Yes, she totaled her car. Like, yes, you know, it was just a rear end thing. It's not like I hit anything, but the impact of being thrusted forward and back, I've learned a lot about concussions since then. And that's the whiplash concussion can tend to be some of the most severe types of concussions or traumatic brain injuries. So now I know that information, it kind of all makes sense with how insane things went for me after. I thought that I was fine. I did go to the hospital to get checked out, and they're like, well, you might experience some concussion symptoms. This is what you should look out for. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I used to be a professional snowboarder. I know what a concussion is, but I've never had one like this before. So I go about my merry way for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden, after 3 days, 72 hours, they say, yeah, that the concussion symptoms can onset the hardest.
Oh, wow.
And it did. It was like right on the dot. 72 hours later, I felt like I had gotten hit by a bus. So I like almost didn't make it through my evening classes at the gym and came home and was just like so nauseous. And just, I feel like from that moment on, I didn't leave the couch or my bed for like 2 weeks straight.
Oh my God.
So
what we are starting to know about concussions through research is how intensely they can affect your emotions. And I also learned through a lot of research about what happens when you sustain a whiplash concussion through impact, that your brain kind of stretches. And, you know, it's almost like if you were to fill up a water balloon and then tie the end of it and then throw the water balloon, but hang on to the tie, it would like kind of flop back and slap your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's a good visual to kind of see how your brain would like kind of slosh forward and then back, like this soft tissue. God, so when that happens, it's like, it's crazy to think about it, but I didn't really realize it. But when that happens, your brain kind of, it stretches, and then you kind of have this snow globe effect going on up there, where all of the neurons that typically fire towards each other lose their connection, and they get lost, and they don't know how to find each other again. So some of the major side effects are unstable emotions and depression, which hit me extremely, extremely hard. Combine that with not being able to do anything, not being able to work, I fell very deep and dark into my depression. And I was not aware that I was already dealing with depression for probably the majority of my life. I now know that going through therapy and seeking help post-incident. So I'll just kind of dive into what happened. I was so depressed. My emotions were going absolutely crazy, and my husband was bearing the brunt of all of this. Meanwhile, over the past year and a half of our marriage and a little bit more, you know, he's realizing, I don't think he realized, but, you know, he realizes now that I had been depressed this whole time. And all he was trying to do for me is make me happy in any which way possible. But I realized now that I was never able to accept my life as it was, because it is so vastly different from how I grew up. And all he wanted to do was make me happy, do this, make me happy. And he gave up so much of himself, and I was rejecting it, but not really realizing that I was rejecting all of his efforts to make me happy. And then you compound it with the accident, my emotions, and putting the strain on our marriage. I'm, you know, at home all day long, moping around, laying in bed, laying on the couch, and kind of taking it out on him. And things got really bad, really bad. And he was absolutely drained. And, you know, it was exhausting for him. It was exhausting for me. And there were moments where I was so depressed. I remember pretty much collapsing on my basement floor in while I was, I think I was down there doing laundry. I don't know. I just remember collapsing and not being able to get myself up off of the ground, crying, like hysterically crying, feeling like I was literally going to die. Like I felt like I was actually dying at that moment.
And you had never experienced like that sort of feeling before?
I did when my mom died.
Okay.
So I have experienced that type, that
that's how severity traumatic things were to like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was traumatic emotion, I would say.
Wow.
And it felt like that again. It's that same amount of pain, that exact same type of pain is what I was experiencing at that time. So that was an episode that I had 2 days prior to the actual episode that I called D-Day. So
it's funny because it's not funny.
No, that was the precursor, which, I mean, that is just like a very skipped over version of how intense things really were. But if you could imagine, it was pretty severe, and it was very real, and it was very hard on the both of us. And so then after that, 2 days later, the same thing kind of happened again, where I went to work that morning. It was my first day back at work, and that was too soon. I probably should not have done that. And I was just like, all of this stuff comes from a deep place in me, and like needing to go back to work, feeling like I was obligated to go back to work, all of those things. That's another topic. But I went back to work and was not doing well and wasn't able to see straight. So I had a complete panic attack, an anxiety attack, because I couldn't see. So I went home, canceled the rest of my classes, and went home to have another episode. I think it was exacerbated by all of my anxiety, which my nervous system was totally heightened from the traumatic episode. Okay. So it's almost like there was PTSD going on as well.
Yep.
Because your nervous system is on such high alert from that stressful traumatic incident. Like if you like think of it as PTSD, if there's like a bomb going off next to you or like a landmine going off next to you, it's that unexpected smash, bang, boom of like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of the way so I don't die. All it is your brain protecting you from dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get impacted like that, your brain, your body is so smart that it goes into it goes into that sympathetic fight or flight state to protect your body to survive. That is its only job, is to get you to survive. It doesn't care about anything else. It shuts off all other systems in your body. And it's like, I need to be on high alert from here on out to make sure that that's not going to happen to me again. Your brain doesn't know that that was a one-time incident. It just needs to like know that it's going to snap right back and keep you on high alert if something like that were to happen again. So you're in this heightened state of awareness. You're in this traumatic state of your sympathetic nervous system, and that compounds your anxiety. Like I was totally unable to calm down. I've never been more anxious in my entire life. So I'm having a panic attack at home, and then I'm having another massive major depressive episode, and it kind of like spurs this really intense emotional argument with my husband. And he didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. This is something that we've never experienced before. And it got to the point where he actually left me. He decided that he was completely done with me, giving so much of his heart and soul and energy to make me happy. And I was completely unable to, prior to the accident, unable to be happy. And was blaming him for that. And just, I realized I was just totally putting the blame on him for my unhappiness. And it just wore him out. It tore him down. And he said, enough is enough. And he left. And I thought that that was going to be it. So he left, he packed a bag, went to his sister's house in New York. And I was left alone in like my most depressed state. And I was lost, and I was pretty much dying again. I felt like I was dying. I felt like I wanted to die. There was absolutely like no feeling for me that I wanted to live, because there was just nothing. I had nothing. Like I felt like I had literally hit rock bottom. Like I had no one in my life that cared about me, is what I thought. And I had been carrying that on, that feeling of no one cares about me, since my mom died, because she was the one person that I knew cared about me more than anything. And then when she left this world, I was like, okay, my worth left with her.
Yeah.
To sum that up. So I was left with nothing, and I wanted to die, and I wanted to end my life, and I was, I called my aunt for help. She's kind of my little lifeline. My aunt is my godmother, and she has been there for me in such an amazing way since my mom and her sister died. And she immediately called my in-laws to come to my rescue, and she demanded that they take me to the hospital right then and there. And that was the best thing anybody ever did for me. She saved my life. She really did. And, you know, not just in that moment, but she saved my life as it is today.
Wow.
Because I've been able to become so much more mentally clear and aware and just self-aware with the gift that she gave me of, you know, say, whatever you do, you need to take Wesley to the hospital right now, and you need to make sure that she gets this kind of care. Depression runs in my family, and she has been through a similar episode, and she was able to recognize those, you know, symptoms. I don't know if symptoms is the right word, but what was going on at that time.
So out of curiosity, I feel like this is good because I think mental health has been like in people's topics a lot lately.
Yeah.
But just, so when she said take her to the hospital, is this just an emergency room?
Yes.
Like local emergency room. And then from there, they know what to do?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. She's like, just take her to the local emergency room. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they evaluated me and then transferred me to an inpatient facility for mental health. And I was there for 4 days, which was life-saving. And it was the best decision, I guess, I ever made, she ever made, because I did have to agree to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really great time to reflect, be separated from the triggering situations, and recover. I was actually able to, believe it or not, sleep there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was just really great for my head injury recovery, and it was great to make use of all of the therapy available to me. So I shared that on that post, and I just want people to know that there's nothing to be ashamed of to seek the help that you need. Like, it is there for a reason, and it is useful, and I wouldn't be here today without it. And it was just, but it's not a cure all. I have to just say that that's not what's going to fix you. You have to use that time to separate yourself, to reevaluate, to learn how to separate those heightened emotions from your rationality and begin to think rationally without your emotions attached to them, and just start to get clear in your head. That is just step one. That's what those inpatient facilities are for. Step one. And the care has to continue after that. And it did. And I continued therapy weekly after I got out, and it's been absolutely the best thing that I've ever done. Also, I'm a huge advocate for proper medication, and it's not something that I will ever be ashamed to talk about, because it is what it is. People need medication for certain things, and there's nothing to be ashamed of with mental health. And it is a very great, useful tool. I feel like I'm a better person now with the help that I need, and some of the help that I need is medication. So I guess that was a long-winded version of what happened on the accident and my D-Day universal wake up. I call that my universal wake up.
I love that.
Thanks.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And it was, oh boy, it was because I call it the universal wake up because the way I had been operating with the defense mechanisms I learned through all of the, you know, experiences, the way I grew up, the trauma in my life, the loss of a family member, all of those things, taught me how to operate and protect myself from future harm and hurt. Mm-hmm. And all of the sudden, when the accident happened, it stripped me of my ability to use those defense mechanisms. And boy, did I freak out and not know how to deal. So through therapy, I've learned how to let go of those defense mechanisms and learn to operate without them in a new way, which is why I feel like a completely new person.
It's interesting because when you were in there, I know one of the things, like, you kind of dove into the relationship with your dad that had not been perfect
or, right,
you know, ideal. And even just going back to, like, the way you're raised, like, in a religious household, and, like, all of these inner things that you might not think twice about would really have any effect on how, who you, yeah, are now as a person, but totally
exactly
does.
Exactly. Exactly. You nailed it. And, you know, thanks for bringing that up, because I think that is such an important part of the story as well, that the way that you were raised, the way the relationships that you have with your parents, all of that goes into developing who you are today and how you hold relationships in your life today. And those things can't be overlooked. You really have to do the work to dig deep to figure out where your shit comes from. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the work that I was doing, because I did know that. I knew that from previous self-development courses that I took. In 2016, the summer of 2016, I went to a self-development weekend course called Landmark Forum, which I recommend to everybody. If you have the opportunity, or even if you don't have the opportunity, make the opportunity. Go to the Landmark Forum. It is life-changing. So that's when I started to kind of dig into my past, because I always had this nagging feeling that something was off, something was wrong, you know, like something was wrong with me. I was just like never good enough. And I always had this insane like sense of shame just following me around my entire life. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to shake it. I just knew something was wrong. And so I was encouraged to go to the Landmark Forum. I did it. I'm like, that's just me, who I am. I'm like a total Scorpio in that way, where I'm like, I just have to know what this is about. I have to know everything. So I'm going to go figure out what the hell you guys are talking about.
And for anyone wondering, it's a world, it's a worldwide like self-development in-person course. So you like, yes, actually find a location.
Yes. Which, and it's all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like a small little sub community of people that have done the Landmark Forum, and it's just like, you connect and you're like, oh my God, you've done Landmark? What? And then you're like best friends, because uh-huh, you just like get it. Yeah. It's so
all right.
Cool.
All right. I'm going.
You're going. I'm going. Making you go. You're going. I'm not making you go. You just need to go. So I went to Landmark and I started to dive into my relationship with my father, because through some of the exercises that we do, you rebuild these relationships. So I'm like, wow, I kind of have a crappy relationship with my dad. We don't really talk, but I didn't really think anything of it. Like, I was so oblivious, totally like curtains over my eyes. I had no clue that there was even anything there. I'm just like, yeah, my dad is who he is. He's great. You know, I love my dad, but we don't talk and we don't really have a relationship. And then I started discovering that I actually held a lot of resentment against him. And you kind of dig deeper and you dig deeper. They call them rackets. I don't know if that's a term that any like is kind of familiar outside of the Landmark like world, but if you've ever heard of it, they call it rackets. So you kind of like dig into your rackets, and then you dig a little bit deeper into another one and deeper into that racket. And I got to the bottom of one, and it was like totally stemming from my father and the way that he raised me. Think of my dad. So he's a chef. Okay. So my dad's a chef. That's his occupation. But think of me growing up in Gordon Ramsay's kitchen, and Gordon Ramsay was my dad.
That sounds terrible. I can't even watch him without getting like serious anxiety.
Ah, yeah, I know. So that's pretty much how I grew up. He was very disciplinary and very strict. And meanwhile, like I'm not saying that my dad is a bad man at all, but he would reprimand my brother and I for like absolutely everything. One of the things that majorly sticks out in my brain was to even the way that we spoke the English language. So my dad is a dual citizen. He was born in Brazil and raised in Brazil until he was about 14 years old, so like into his early teenage years. So his first language was Portuguese. And but he went to, I believe, American schools down there. He grew up speaking both, but Portuguese was his like technically first language. So he's like, anytime I spoke English incorrectly, I would get yelled at up and down, left and right, and I would get grounded. And he would just say, I can't believe that you can't speak English properly. It's your first language. I grew up speaking Portuguese and English is my second language and I can speak it better than half of the people out there. And how do you not know this? Blah, blah, blah. Just like scolding, reprimanding, all of the above. So I'm like, okay, my dad is a very scary man and I do not want to feel his wrath at all for anything. So I'm never going to do anything wrong ever again. And that's how I developed into a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm just not going to speak anymore. So that's how, so wow. The fact that I'm actually talking to you right now is a huge breakthrough for me, because I have been afraid to speak my like entire life. My confidence has been like nada, nothing.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, a lot of my developmental stuff growing up, a lot of my defense mechanisms develop from your relationship with your parents. And I started to dig into that. And I thought I had broken through that 2 years ago when, or God, oh my gosh, 3 years ago, when I went to the Landmark Forum, and they encourage you to have those conversations with those important people in your life to kind of make amends and, you know, rebuild those relationships. So that's what I thought I did. I called my dad. And I said, you know what, Dad, I just realized that all of that, you know, scolding and reprimanding and all of the yelling that you did or whatever, you know, discipline that you ensued on us was just you trying to teach us something. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. All right. So I knew that that's what it was. Like, I know that my dad loves me so much, and all he wanted was to raise these children to be these really strong and smart and respectful adults. So I realized that, and I thought that that like initial realization fixed it. I was like, okay, I did the work, I did the Landmark, I did what they said that I needed to do. And I called my dad and I said that I realized that he just wanted to teach me something. I'm fixed, all better. But I wasn't. That didn't fix it. It wasn't enough work on my part. And I now realize that I had never healed those wounds. I had never really like stood up to him to tell him how it had truly affected me in my life. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to let it go. I wasn't able to like get like a true deep conversation out of it until after the accident, when I really realized how much it had been holding me back in my confidence, in my life, in my relationships, you know, everything, especially with my husband, that I called him crying after I had gotten out of the hospital, because I just knew that I couldn't fix this relationship with my husband without reaching out to my dad and confronting him and really going down there and having a big, serious, serious talk about how he had hurt me. Really, I had to share with him how he had hurt me, you know, growing up in that way. And then also how he had hurt me in certain ways after that, you know, by not being a part of my life and all of those things. So, you know, during this time, like, I was almost like, I didn't want to do it. God, who wants to confront their parent? No one does. Like, mm-hmm. no one. It, like, I'm not to toot my own horn, but it does take a very brave individual to be yeah. able to do that. But I came to the realization that I had nothing to lose.
Wow.
Because I could go down there. He was living in Florida. I could go down to Florida and tell my dad everything that I had thought about him, everything that, you know, I blamed him for, so to speak. And he could, you know, get defensive, yell at me and throw me out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Worst case scenario. I'm like, worst case scenario? That's not so bad because it literally wouldn't change anything. It would mm-hmm. not change anything. I would not have a relationship with him regardless because yeah. the relationship that we have now doesn't even exist. So nothing to lose. All right, booking the ticket. I'm going to go down to Florida. And so it's like once you realize that you have nothing to lose, that's when you take your power back. That's when mm-hmm. you take that power and you're like, you can't affect me. You think that those words that you would get defensive with, you know, that didn't happen, thank God. But if that were to happen, those words wouldn't affect me because then I have the power of knowing that it's okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, it's okay because, you know, that's your problem, not mine anymore. I have nothing to lose. So that was a breakthrough for me. I also knew I needed to do that to heal the relationship with my husband because he did not trust me to, you know, I had hurt him so much by rejecting his love for so long, because of everything that I had gone through, with the loss of my mother, et cetera. And all of the defense mechanisms that I had grown up with, you know, I basically was this like loner. I call it a loner, I guess. My defense mechanism was I can do it myself. I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. So and that's my husband's love language is acts of service. Mm-hmm. So him actually doing things for me made me feel like absolute crap because I was like, nope, I can do it myself. I do not want anybody doing it for me because me asking for help made me like vulnerable. It made me like not a strong person. And, you know, it was my way of protecting myself, not allowing anybody to do anything for me because then they couldn't hurt me or and then I could be disappointed. So here he is trying to give me all of his love. I'm rejecting it. And here I am now. I'm like, oh my God, I just had this universal wake up. Look what I've been doing this whole time, you know? And I'm like, basically like, love me. And he's like, I do, but you've been like basically rejecting it this whole time. Oh. So how am I supposed to trust you to now accept everything that I've been trying to offer you this whole time? Which is like, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? But it healed. Everything healed. And, you know, I went down to Florida and I did the work and I had really long, hard conversations with my dad. And, you know, it doesn't change him, but I have an understanding, a very deep understanding of him. And he knows where I'm at. He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows how I feel. Everything's on the table. And that's when you are able to really let it go and move past everything that's holding you back. So, like, whoever's listening out there, it takes work. It takes ugly, hard work. And I will say it all the time on my posts on Instagram that healing is ugly. It takes work.
So one thing that, like, I don't think I said this to you afterwards, but you like totally woke me up to something by something that you mentioned about your dad. And so the last time we talked, we talked about like religion and how you grew up that way. And I also yes. grew up, like my mother was super religious.
I didn't know that about you. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like honestly a very similar kind of upbringing. I know you talked about like the guilt when you and your husband kind of like got together, like all of this stuff. And you talked about how you felt guilty succeeding kind of in any area of your life because you were no longer like living according to how you were raised. And
exactly.
Like I love how you're, you know, you don't blame the religion. And I feel the same way. Like it is to each their own and people do what they do. But I had never made that connection before about guilt of how we were raised versus how we're living our life now, and that holding us back from like enjoying success or achieving success. Cause you always have this like lingering, like, but I'm really a bad person. Like no matter all the things you accomplish, you're still like, but I'm actually bad.
But I'm, so, but I'm supposed to be a bad person because that's what they told me.
Right. Right. So right. I just really appreciate you bringing that goodness. To my attention. Like it's huge. And I think for anyone that can probably resonate with that, like, it growing up for what 18 years of your life being told a certain thing, like it doesn't just leave. But again, once you kind of own and understand where that comes from, then you can work through it a little bit more.
I'm so glad that I was able to help you in that way. That makes me feel so happy and honored that I could help you. And like, that is all that I want. That's all I want in this life. And all I like, my goal in sharing my story is just to like, hey, we all have the same experiences. Like we all go through the same stuff. Like things are not pretty, really. Like things are not pretty in anybody's life. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have our highlight reel on Instagram, but it's my goal to like really like talk about the gross, ugly stuff in life. And I'm just so glad that I was able to help you in that way.
Yeah, and me too.
So thank you so much for sharing that. That is like, I'm really happy to like hear more about how that develops for you and how you can, you know, kind of really dig into it. Yeah, so you'll have to keep me posted on it. But the church was definitely another part of my childhood that totally developed me into another way of being, you know, it's not just, it's anything. It's not just your parents. It could be anything like the church. I grew up in a very strict religious church, and it was called a non-denominational church. So it wasn't attached to like any specific religious sect, but the only way that I could explain it is that it was very cult-like. It was not a cult, but if, you know, anybody on the outside would kind of just be like, whoa,
yeah,
hey, like, what are you guys doing? So my mom actually was the one that got us into that. And she was, you know, we were there all the time. We were in church like 2 to 3 times a week. And, you know, I was just like totally barraged with the message of, you are not worthy. Like, you are not worthy without God. Like, you are nothing. Then they just repetitively put that in your head. And it's like, you kind of lose, like, you forget about the other end of it. You forget like the latter half of it. Like, you're nothing without God. You just, all you hear is you are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the message of like how I should be, like, there was so much shame associated with the church I grew up in. I'm not saying that there's shame associated in church or religious in general. The specific church that I was associated with growing up had very heavy messages of shame, and it really affected me as a person. It affected my confidence. It affected my way of being as, you know, a young adult. And I truly believe that that is one of the reasons why I was never successful in my snowboarding career. There were times where I felt so guilty about everything in my life. I felt like such a bad person because I sinned, because I'm not being like this perfect, you know, child of God, that I drank with my college friends, and I just had this intense amount of guilt. Or like, oh, I wasn't going to church in college, so I'm a bad Christian and I'm going to go to hell, or whatever those messages that, you know, play in your head are. And I remember like a vivid memory of being at the top of the hill. I am ready to compete. And like, so to kind of paint a little bit of a picture, when like the competitions that typically happen in the snowboarding industry in the world out, you know, out there in the mountains, it's the competitions happen on like over a weekend. You usually have your practice like on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday. Then they usually hold the competition on Saturday, and then they'll hold like finals, semifinals or finals on Sunday. So it's like this whole weekend event for some of these competitions. And there's like a lot of socialization happening at night, you know, and parties. Like, so you kind of have to,
you can drink later. I mean,
seriously, like it's part of that world. It's part of that like industry. And, you know, these big sponsorship companies hold parties and you get invited to these parties and you kind of have to go and kind of schmooze and do your thing and be like, oh, I'm competing. I'm this person. Like, I don't know. You know, especially when you're like kind of like a lower name trying to make your way, you try to make connections. It's just, you know, it's just like really making connections. So, okay, here I am on like doing this competition, showing face at these parties. And then I'm up on the hill the next day getting ready to compete. And I'm feeling so guilty, like so guilty that I was like, I, in my head saying my rhetoric is, I don't deserve to do well in this competition because I was a bad person.
Wow.
Like I sinned. I do not deserve this. I do not deserve to be successful. And that's pretty much how I like, I operated under such heavy guilt that I was never able to allow myself to do well. And it just subconsciously affected my ability to snowboard and like actually like show up and compete. It's a very, like snowboarding is a very heavily mental sport. You really have to be confident in your mental game. And that's something that I was never able to do.
And I imagine you have to be fully present, like not thinking about the things from last night. You know what I mean?
Right. You have to be like, your head game has to be so strong when you're competing in snowboarding, even when you're just practicing or even when you're just like doing your thing, because you have to be confident that your body has the ability to remember the tricks that you're going to do. Your body, you have to like have that confidence in your muscle memory that you know what you're doing. And I never had that, and I was never able to perform well in competition. And I truly believe that's why I wasn't able to do like go really any further in my career.
Truth be told, I could talk to Wes. This could be like a 3-hour podcast because
oh my god, I know. There's so much to say.
There's so much to say. But why don't we share just kind of like where you're at, how people can find you, and kind of the latest like project that you're up to.
Yes, my current project is the 7x7 program. We named it, I actually have a partner that I teamed up with to do the 7x7 program. And we just finished it up yesterday. Yesterday was our last day of our 7 weeks. God, it went absolutely amazing. The results and the life-changing perspective that these women have gained, it has just been out. I'm so jazzed up about it. It's amazing. I cannot wait to share all of the results. Yay, so
congratulations.
Stay tuned. Thank you. Stay tuned on Instagram. If you want to check it out, I'm going to be posting a bunch about it. So 7x7 is, we named it that because it's 7 weeks of workouts, 7 weeks of nutrition. So we have a full 49-day program, and we are combining the mind, nutrition, and movement. So it just really dives into how there is not one piece of the puzzle that is more important than the other. It's all working together. The gut and the brain are connected. Your brain and your muscles do not work without each other. Obviously, that's how movement happens, is through the brain. It's just, and nothing happens without your confidence being there, without the integrity of your commitment, the teamwork, and just all of it just plays into this like pyramid of care where your brain's at the top and right underneath it, you've got the two pillars of your movement with your muscles and nutrition. So
The nutrition side, I leave to my partner completely. And so I'll, actually, if you want to check her out, her name is Ashley Knotts on Instagram. It's Ashley with two E's, Knotts, KNOTTSNTP, that stands for Nutritional Therapy Practitioner. So that's her handle, is Ashley Knotts NTP. So check her out. All of her nutrition information is fabulous. She ties it all in, you know, with the body as a whole, just like I do with the muscles and the mind as a whole. And it's just, there's not one part that's more important than the other. Nothing works without everything else in the body. So we really dive deep into that. We really dive deep into the emotional journey, the mind connection with your ability to, you know, really achieve the results that you want. And on the fitness side of things, while I am fully invested in individual programming, this is a group program. And this program and the workouts, I designed them off of my journey through recovery from one of my major injuries from snowboarding. So my career-ending injury was, I tore my ACL in competition after I had returned to competition after my mom died. And then in one of my competitions, I tore my ACL and it was a career-ending injury. And it was career-ending, not that I couldn't bounce back physically from it. It was career-ending because I'm like, all right, universe, you're telling me that this is not where my life needs to go. This is not the direction I need to take. And it took me to my husband in Connecticut.
Yay!
So it was just, I know. I met him like right around that time. We moved to Connecticut right after my knee surgery and I did my recovery here in Connecticut. So it's kind of like this journey of my new life. And the training that I was doing while I was rehabbing my knee is very similar to the training that I have implemented in the 7x7 program. It's all encompassing because I was very focused on strengthening my muscles, but also on losing weight because I got really depressed during this time, not being able to use my body, not being able to be like athletic or active. And I gained some weight because I was in a new area. I couldn't work out. I had all of this like new family around me. My now mother-in-law was like making pies every day. And I'm just like eating all this stuff. And then there's New England beer that I've never tasted before. So I was going wild, taking full advantage of this amazing summer experience in Connecticut. And so I think I had gained like around 15, 18 pounds and, you know, had not worked out since like before my knee injury, which was quite some time. God, it was like, it seems like an eternity. So all of that kind of plays into how I kind of like took my power back. And it was a very emotional journey for me, like working through this injury, because I've been this active athlete my whole life. And it was just very humbling, and also very humbling to not have my clothes fit anymore, because that's something that I had never experienced as an athlete before either. Like I was just used to like being on this like steady, you know, wavelength. So I kind of like made the training to be reminiscent of that journey. The training style and also the emotional journey that goes along with it is how I tie it into the brain muscle as well. So that's kind of the gist of the fitness side of 7x7, but God, there's so much more I could talk about it forever.
Yeah, you guys do great. And I thought the coolest thing was that like grocery store field trip that you guys took.
Yeah.
Like, they literally, Wes and her partner literally take people into the grocery store. I mean, I'm not sure if this is something you're gonna do every time, but
yes,
I thought
it is. Cool. Yeah.
They like read labels and kind of pointed out like maybe things that are hiding in there, or like even what kind of olive oils do you like. It was fabulous. So
yeah, there's so much that we don't know and goes so overlooked. Gosh. Yes.
That was so, that was so cool.
All the juicy details. Yeah, thank you. It was
so super where can people find you to find out more about 7x7 and your other future endeavors? I'm sure there'll be many.
So Instagram is kind of the best place to reach out to me. I'm the most active on Instagram. I do have a Facebook business page as well, but I'll be honest, I'm not very good at staying up on it. So Instagram, my handle is Wesley Ann Hefel. My last name is spelled H-E-F-E-L. Everyone thinks it's Hefel, but it's Hefel. I'm sure, Amy, you can, you know, post that up when you post the podcast so you guys can find me. Through Instagram, you can click on any of my links to my website. You can sign up for my email list. And also, I have a link to 7x7 with all the information underneath there as well. And you can always check out the story highlight on my Instagram page to kind of just follow along the whole journey of 7x7 and just see what we've been up to. And stay tuned for future updates as well. I've got all the results coming soon. So, yeah.
And you can meet her new puppy.
Oh my God, I have a new puppy. Oh my gosh, she's adorable. She's asleep right now. She's so good. She slept through the whole podcast. Oh, I know.
So great. So I just want to ask you one last question. And that would be if you had any advice for someone maybe going through some things right now or trying to figure out just what the next steps are, what would be your advice?
Self-reflection. Start digging. Start just thinking. Start journaling. And just really just sit with yourself. Start meditating. I mean, I don't even really meditate, I'll be honest. Don't, you know, you don't have to like sit there and do this whole like meditate. Mm-hmm. I just sit there with myself and just think. Like I'll sit and like one of my favorite things to do is just like sit in my car after I pull in my driveway. Mm-hmm. Sit there for like 10, 15 minutes, sometimes a half hour, and just like sit and think and just kind of tune everything out and tune into yourself. The Landmark Forum, I mentioned that earlier, is the best stepping stone into your journey of self-development and self-awareness. I think self-awareness is key. After the whole incident and the accident and the universal wake up, I feel like I can see now. I feel like I have been able to separate my emotional side from my rational side. Both of those things, they work together. You know, you need one to balance out the other, but if you're too far on one end of the scale, you know, things don't go very well. You don't want to be too rational and you don't want to be too emotional. Mm. So finding that happy balance through self-awareness, not just leaning on your emotional side of things and how you feel, but start digging and gathering information about the reality of the situation. Okay, what actually happened here? Let's break it down to the details of like what actually happened. And that's something that we tap into in the Landmark Forum. It's just like, this is what happened, and then this is your story about what happened. So let's focus on what happened, and your story about what happened is usually your emotions getting in the way of the facts. So I would recommend the Landmark Forum to anyone, everyone in the entire world. Do the Landmark Forum. It's going to create a better world for everybody. I'm so passionate about that program that they do. And I think that that is such an amazing, amazing start. Mm-hmm. So I think those two, I mean, there's some accounts on Instagram that I love to follow. My favorite one is the Holistic Psychologist.
Ooh.
Yes. Follow. I get some of the best little tidbits from that account. And I think that's kind of it. I mean, start with yourself. I mean, there are resources. Go to therapy. God, go to therapy. Everybody should go to therapy.
Yep.
And talk to your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Seriously, talk to your parents. Mm-hmm. Start to understand them. Once you understand your parents, then you truly understand who you are.
Yeah.
You don't heal your relationship with your parents, you're just going to repeat that exact same relationship over and over and over and over again.
Oh my gosh, girl. Well, thank you so incredibly much for all of your time.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's just, I love talking to you. We could do this all the time.
But, well, I'm so excited. Yeah. And I'm so excited to see like what's next and what's coming up. And you just keep inspiring the world with you, with who you are.
Thank you.
I like to call you a friend. So thank you.
Thank you. Me as well. Yes. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. How inspiring was Wes? She shared things that most people might go through their entire life never opening up about. But I really love that she feels in order to get to the root of any issues, you have to be open to sharing and figuring out where it all begins. I also love the idea of when her and her husband were having issues, she realized that maybe it was her. So many times we believe that it's the other person, but maybe we should all check in with ourselves every once in a while, and then we'll be able to find what's on the beautiful other side.